Alert from calendar.
We're continuing our series
Planet
on
fitness.
We're continuing our series on the gospel. What is the gospel? Let's turn back to our foundation text, please. And that would be 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now I make known to you, brothers, the gospel, which I preached to you, which you also received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In that case, you won't hold fast to it. Verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance, meaning the principal matters, if you will, what I also received. And what was that? That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And as a rerun, going back over it, review, we're showing you again that covers the entire gospel. Because even though his birth and life aren't mentioned, in order for him to have died, he had to have first lived. In order for him to have first lived, he had to first be born. And so that's covered in that. He was buried and he was raised on the third day. Look at one more summary of the gospel. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with the 11th verse. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Beginning with the 11th verse. Verse 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. And I'd like to go back to that one because verse 11 says, according to the gospel, the glorious gospel of the blessed God. Whose gospel is this? The blessed God and our Father. It's his gospel. Now let's go down to what the gospel is in a nutshell again. Skip down to verse 15. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. What is that? What is this trustworthy statement deserving of full acceptance? That Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am right now, chief, foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost or chief of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate, put on display, exhibit his perfect patience. Thank you, Lord Jesus. As an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Herein is the gospel in a nutshell. So going back over what we've talked about, that all mankind has sin. Man is born a sinner. And as a result of being born a sinner, he is under the control. He is under the wrath of God, or the wrath of God abides on him. That's so scary. man cannot save himself. Well, what does that mean? You can't be good enough. You can't live righteous enough in order for the Lord God to save you or cause yourself to be saved. Man is saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, by or in Christ alone. That's where we stopped here. Solus Christus. Man is saved by, through, and because of Christ only. We went over verses like Matthew 1:21, he will save his people from their sin. John 14:6, I am the way. No one comes to the Father but through me. Acts 4:12, salvation is in no one else. Acts 10, we talked about that through his name, we receive the forgiveness of sins. And we begin to ask questions. Why are we saved through faith in Christ? What is it about the Lord Jesus Christ that saves us? What did he do? And all of these questions are all designed to get you to focus on this, what we're about to talk about. When we ask what did he do, and someone answered right on time last week, you know, what do you mean what did he do? He died for our sins. Yeah, but before the cross, there was a sinless life that was lived that made him eligible. Eligible for the cross. So he lived a sinless life. And we went through that. John 8:29. He always did those things that pleased the Father. Always. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He knew no sin. Did we do Hebrews 4?
Yes.
That he was yet without sin. Tempted. In every way just like us. Yet without sin. 1 Peter 2, who committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Let's look at the last one. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John 3 and 5. First John 3 and 5. And it reads, and you know that he, talking about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was manifested. I mean, he was brought out into the open for all to see to take away our sins. And in him, there is no sin. Now, one of the reasons that the sinless life of Jesus Christ is overlooked is because of what I believe is an erroneous belief. And that is that they say, well, of course he lived a sinless life because he could not commit sin. It's an impossibility. Well, I categorically and wholeheartedly disagree with that. Jesus, as pertaining to his humanness slash his humanity, was just like Adam before Adam failed. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus, as pertaining to his humanity, remember, Jesus is the human side of the second person of the Trinity. Remember, so let's roll over to Matthew chapter 1 again. Look at Matthew chapter 1. I know you know this, but it doesn't hurt to see it. This is very important, and I hope that we'll join the chorus of those who really celebrate the life lived, sinless life lived by the Lord Jesus Christ while here on earth, and how important that was. Look at the 18th verse of Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus first there, because it is the birth of the humanity of the Christ, was as follows. When as his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, and I love that phrasing, because he did not act rashly or suddenly or without thought, he pondered, and that's what a mature person does. And not, mind you, he is a teenager. Some say Joseph was as young as 16 to 18 years old. This is a young buck being led by God. He considered these things. He thought on these things. And while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She shall bear a son, and here we go, and you shall call his name Jesus. Now, I know you know that, but sometimes we read that too fast. So, technically speaking, Jesus, which is the human side of the God of glory, was not in existence until at this point. She shall bear a son, and this son who is to be born into this world, you're going to name him Jesus. And why? Because he will save his people from their sins. So now, Jesus is born. He's in the world. He is as human as any human being who ever lived. Do you understand that? It's crucial that you do. Because what we tend to do is to think that the deity, the divine side of Jesus, prevented, and that's the teaching, some believe, prevented his human side from sinning. But I venture to say I have not found that anywhere in Scripture. And I'm going to tell you where all this is going, but I want you to understand this, what I'm saying first. That Jesus was born fully human, and the spirit part of him was fully God. Because God can't stop, God the Son can't stop being God the Son. The Spirit does not go out of existence. It was simply, as John chapter 1, 14 lets us know, that it was wrapped in flesh. So the Spirit of the Son of God, which is 100% God, flesh was wrapped around that spirit. Now, we all have spirits here, and flesh is wrapped around our spirits. But the difference is our spirit isn't eternal. Our spirit is not eternal, meaning we didn't always exist. Now, once we do exist, we're going to always live or be in existence. Do you understand that? Once a spirit of a man comes into existence, then that spirit would never go out of existence. It's going to live eternally either in heaven or hell. God, the God class of people, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, their spirit always existed and will always exist. It always exists in eternity past, present, and future. There was never a time that they did not exist. So Jesus, his spirit, the Son of God, his spirit is still fully intact, 100% divine. That's one of the mysteries. And that was wrapped in humanity. So him being wrapped in humanity did not at all diminish the divine eternal being. Do we understand that? Okay. I want you to understand that. So the spirit, his divine side, was still 100% spirit. But the humanity side that was born in the womb of Mary was 100% human. 100% human. He got sleepy. He was tired. He got frustrated. He was angry. But he did all this yet without sin. He had to eat, sleep, walk, because he was human. He just didn't levitate from place to place because of the divine side in there. Now I'm taking this for on purpose, taking my time here on purpose, because we tend to look, we just jump to the cross. And I haven't hardly heard anyone teach on recognizing that, hey, that cross was the end result of his life lived. So we have a human Jesus wrapped around an eternal spirit walking the earth. But this human Jesus is being led by the Spirit of God. The human Jesus being led by the Spirit of God. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Look at verse 80. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 1, verse 80, but you know what? Let all that go. Pray for me. Look at Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Verse 39, Luke chapter 2, verse 39. So when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Verse 40. And the child grew, because he's human, like children grow, and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. See, that's all human. I want you to see that. He grew, became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He's human. I'm maybe try to help you a little bit more. Your spirit, when we get sick in our bodies, this will help you a little bit too. Your spirit is not sick. Your body is. Your spirit never gets sick. It never gets sleepy. It's the body that's doing all of this. Your spirit, the real you, stays healthy and strong and calm and everything. But we have this burden called this body that we carry around, that we log around every single day. You follow that? So just as your human spirit isn't disturbed or moved, if you will, by what's happening in your body, because when you're body has cancer, your spirit is still healthy. Well, that's a human spirit that was created into existence, but once in existence will live forever. How much more the eternal Son of God, whose spirit is eternal. So his spirit is not affected by his humanity. Did you just catch that? Just as your spirit is not affected by your humanity. Okay, your spirit doesn't have a cold because you have a cold. Okay, so you understand that. So it's possible to walk around 100% God and 100% man. Look at Acts chapter 10, I believe, verse 38. I believe it's Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Yes. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Look at it. How God anointed. Why would you have to anoint God if he's talking about the Spirit? But notice who he anointed. Jesus, the humanity of Nazareth. All of that is human. Jesus from Nazareth. With the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yes, with his humanity. That's how we are to live our lives, being anointed, how God anoints us with the Holy Spirit and power, and we are to go about doing good and healing or whatever the Lord, in other words, being led, influenced, dominated, and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Are you with me? I'm belaboring this point on purpose. He was 100% human and 100% God or divine. And that, we've gone over that term. That term together means the hypostatic union of 100% man and 100% God. But his humanity was 100%. It wasn't anything more special or greater. He was just like Adam before the fall. Why you say it like that? Well, before the fall, Adam had the ability to sin or not sin, to obey God or not obey God before the fall. Because once it fell, then our ability to obey God was knocked out. But before the fall, Adam could sin or not sin, obey God or not obey God, do good or do evil. Same thing with Jesus. He was the second Adam. The Word of God calls him the last Adam. Lord, help us to get this, because it's real quiet in here. I like to think folks are just going over it in their mind, because this is rather different. I'm going to get to the punchline in a minute, in a moment here. So, Jesus, the divine side of his nature, his divine nature rather, did not seep over into his human nature and just blocked all his abilities to sin. There's no scripture that happened. And I don't believe that at all. And let me tell you why. If there is no way for the humanity, Jesus, to sin, then the Bible, then all of the sins and verse that we're about to read again are just a charade. Mm-hmm. Somebody got this. Somebody said, right away. Mm-hmm. And you know, God ain't into drama and acting. If you think about that, then that's just lies and deceit. Because Matthew 4:1, let's turn there. Matthew 4:1. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. You know it, but I want you to see it in a different light as pertaining to what we're talking about. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then Jesus, Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Was led up by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Well, that's just play acting, if that's the case, if he cannot sin. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. God ain't into no, this ain't Hollywood, where it's not really going on with what you, we know, dude, brother didn't get blowed up. Excuse my bad English. Well, he ain't get blowed up. We know my man ain't really getting his head blowed off, or this person really dying. That's all acting. That's just God. That's not God. That's not even a part of his character. It's impossible for him to deceive or to be hypocritical, because it's hypocrisy too. He was literally there to be tempted tested and tried of the devil. Look at verse 2 to even go a little further. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry, showing his humanity. I'm hungry. Well, what does the devil tempt him with? What else? What? Ooh. Hallelujah. Verse 3, command these stones to be made bread. Not turn it into a bird or just turn it into some sort of bush and show off your thing. No, I'm going to tempt you with food. Because I'm trying to get you to do a few things. And one is to not rely on God. That would preach. Because what he was trying to do, the devil, was trying to tempt Jesus to rely on his own self. And supply his own need. You know how we do. Somebody got a hand up back there. Two hands went up like somebody had a marriage. Hallelujah. Somebody getting this. He was under temptation. He was hungry. And it's something that the Spirit of the living God, through the writer Matthew, takes the time to mention he was hungry, and then the next temptation was bread. Yeah. That's by design, word of life. Yeah. Jesus was human. He was hungry, and he wanted to eat. Hungry means I want me some food. Mm-hmm. And bread, some freshly freshly baked, miracleized bread. It's about to be the best bread in the world. Command these stones to be made bread. Don't rely on God. Do it yourself. Come on, man. You can do it. Like the devil always tells us, right? Come on, man. And we just listening. Think about your life in the world. Everything the devil said, we just, yeah. Come on. All right. Knowing you're going into something terrible. Driving. I remember I did something crazy. I was so blew out, I ran a red light right in front of the police. I'm just in a daze. I mean, just feeling terrible. We just gave in everything. He was under temptation. He was led to his humanity, was led there in that wilderness for that exact purpose. By the Spirit of the living God, to be tempted, tested, and tried by Satan himself. And those were some intense temptations. Be your own provider. Because the plan was, for as you see at the end of the temptation, we'll get down there. The angels came and ministered. That was the way. That's who was supposed to do it. That's when it was supposed to be done, and not you doing some things yourself. Look at verse 4. Jesus answered, it is written. What did he do? He came back with the word. Just like we're supposed to do as humans. Yes, sir. As humans being, who are serving God, come back with the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That would preach to all of us, because we live by food alone. Look at, nobody said nothing. Miss Mealing, it got so quiet in here. You can hear a mouse walk on carpet. Wow. We tend to live by bread alone. In other words, we're self-sufficient. And if you, like my mother, both her parents were dead by the time she was 18 or 19. So pretty much at 19, she's an orphan. We still had our parents, some of us did, even longer. And you know, they may not have lived a lot longer, but to have both parents gone by 19 is kind of rough. So she's an independent person. She was positioned just to be independent, fiercely independent. And she did. She got her degree at a time when black women were barely going to college. And so when you come to the Lord, you tend to bring over that strong, fierce independence. And the Lord has to teach us humility and to teach us reliance and to teach us faith. Because that's what faith is. Relying on him, trusting in him and not on yourself.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because we tend to go get it.
Amen.
Just go get it. I'm going to talk to this person. They're going to hear it. They're going to understand it. I got to do this. I'm going to do that. We tend to assume the role. Because if that's the way you were out in the world, you carry that over. You got to unlearn that. And relearn how to do things God's way. Are we in the right place?
Amen.
That takes some time. That takes humility.
Amen.
Jesus told him, I run my life by what God says. And that's my food,
amen,
dude. Yeah. And not this hot loaf of bread you're trying to get me to cook up, amen, right here.
Hallelujah.
I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's my nourishment. That's my food. That's how I subsist in life. But he was tempted. You know what went through his mind was, man, I sure can eat me some bread, and I'm able to do it on my divine side. And there's a proof. He didn't let his divine side leak over. Because he could have just went ahead and made some bread. You know, we saw him do that with the five loaves and the fishes. And by the way, I still want to tell you that was not his divine side coming over. That's a human being empowered by the Holy Spirit. We just read that in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with him. Even then, that wasn't his divine side leaking over into his human side. That was the Holy Spirit working on the human being, allowing him to perform a miracle. Amen. Then you go, verse 5, devil took him up, said he showed him all the beauty and everything. He said, I'll give you all this. No, he told him, you throw yourself down. The angels will catch you. He said, don't tempt the Lord your God. What he wanted him to do was, if Jesus, you said, well, why is that a temptation? Good question, glad you asked. If Jesus just jumped off and just floated down, right? He jumped on me and float down and the people see it. What could he bypass? All of the things he went through? Because they just now believe because they saw the miracle. But that wasn't the way that's supposed to go. Because miracles run out. I don't know if I mentioned it to you a few times. The man who couldn't walk in Acts chapter 3 or 4, whatever. He jumped up and walked, ran through the temple. They said, man, ain't this the same dude that was born or been like this from since he was a youth, running through the temple? And they praised and they jumped and shouted. And they said, when they saw the miracle, they were amazed and wondered. And then it says, but when they heard the word, they believed. Miracles cause wonder and amazement and astonishment. But not belief. Unfortunately, the church of deliverance and the mighty prophetic church and with the apostles sitting up front, you know, apostle so-and-so, those churches, they are all about miracles. They want state signs and wonders because they believe and then that's going to cause belief. It doesn't cause belief. The word of God says in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation. Not miracles. They're not the power of God to salvation. They don't save. Jesus said, nope, that's not how we do things. I'm not going to jump off here and float down. It'd be tempting because I can make things a whole lot easier for me because I can be like a presidential dude and just draw folks around and I ain't got to go through all of the hard things of preaching the gospel, being talked about and being all of this. I can just bypass all of that. That's a temptation because his humanity, he wasn't looking forward to being beat and have his skin ripped out and his organs exposed. He wasn't looking forward to that. Can you imagine knowing that? That's really, wow. Verse 8. The devil took him on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said, I'll give all this to you if you'll fall down and worship me. Well, I can own it all, bypass the cross maybe, and get this, woo-wee, all this be all mine. He said, nope, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you shall serve. That was a knockout punch. Then the devil left him. Behold, angels came and ministered him. So that's when the Bible brought the bread and the water and so forth. That was the proper time. He withstood the temptation. We told you many times, then the devil leaveth him. The devil left him. Remember, not left, walked off and went on to the next city or town. Nope, just to back off into the shadows. Still looking. Until a more what? Favorable and opportune time to come back at him. When your temptations lighten up, you're under a heavy thing and it finally lighten up, don't think he's gone. He just backed off into the shadows. But he was tempted just as any other human being would be. I want to show you something else. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4. Matter of fact, go to chapter 2 first. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. Do you see that? I'm like, wow. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brothers. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, remember, to be the satisfaction for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid, King James has succor, aid those who are tempted. But he had to be made just like his brothers. Human. Temptable. And tells you why. He said that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Well, that leads us now to chapter 4, two chapters over. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We just read it not too long ago. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because we just read in Hebrews 2, he was made just like us that he might be merciful and faithful. So we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one, who's one, a high priest, who has been tempted in all things as we are, just like us, comma, yet without sin. Why make a big deal of him not, he knew no sin, yet he was without sin, tempted in all points, if he could not sin, if he could not even be tempted? Why make a big deal out of it? We just read in the sin part, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different scriptures. For he says he always do those things that please him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin. Hebrews 4:15, he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. 1 Peter 2:22, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. 1 John 3:5, he took away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Why make a big deal about there's no sin, he committed no sin, and there was no sin, if he could never sin? And then you go down into the other verse we just read about him being tempted in Matthew. He was tempted in all things like we are. He was tempted so that he might come to the aid of those who are tempted if he could not be tempted. I want to reread Matthew chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2. Look at that. I'm going to read that with the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Hebrews 2:17. If you can go on kind of loosely following your translation while I read the Amplified. So it is evident that it was essential that he be made like his brethren in every respect, in order that he might become a merciful sympathetic and faithful high priest in the things related to God, to make atonement and propitiation for the people's sins. For because he himself, in his humanity, has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry of assist, relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried, and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Isn't that good news? That he could come right to the aid, because I know what you're dealing with. Amen. I know the grief that you're going through. Because my cousin was killed. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. He was unjustly murdered by the police, if you will. They cut his head off. I know sympathy. I know grief. I know pain. I know injustice. I can sympathize with you. That's why you need to run to the throne and not for the phone. Let him talk to you. Let him rub your back. Let him hug you up real good. I know what you're going through, because I've experienced it literally myself. Amen. The word of God says he was tempted in all points, sexuality. You can best believe it. It was a supernatural power. I said, Lord God Almighty, Father God, I got to ask you a question. How in the world did Jesus sit up there and that woman washing his feet with her hair and everything, and he just be laying up in there and still eating? He said, I was supernaturally endowed in his flesh to deal with that. Right? He anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. Because he was tempted in all points. And that includes sex. Because we sex and Jesus, we just like, oh wow, that's blasphemous. All points. Am I right, Miss? We need to talk about it. Did he want to eat an extra Big Mac if McDonald's was around? Yes. He was tested with gluttony. All points. Anger. Hatred. All points. Yet without sin. Surely he could have sinned. But he didn't. And the fact that he lived that sinless life is what made him eligible for the cross. No, God done deal in deception and hypocrisy. Those are two attributes that can never be a part of God. It can never be a part of his character and his disposition. God is not into Hollywood putting on movies and acts. When he said he was tempted, he cannot lie. That means he was tempted. If Jesus was tempted, then he was tempted. If he was tempted in all points, all every way, then he was. Just like, and he adds on it, just like us. Notice he was, it says he was tempted in all points as we are, or as we were, yet without sin. Just like us. Temptation to procrastinate. Temptation to put off for tomorrow what you can do today. Every point. I have in my notes one of the main reasons why the sinless life lived by the Lord Jesus is often overlooked. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it is overlooked, because that is what made him eligible for the cross. It was his sinless life that got him to the cross. Because if he doesn't live that sinless life, then you and I are in trouble, because there was no plan B.
Amen. Amen.
Are you listening to me? There was no plan B. If he sins, it's over. Father God, we had just overlooked the sinless life of the Lord Jesus Christ for centuries. But thank you for allowing this little church here to land on it and value that sinless life. In Amen. Jesus' holy name. Amen. 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 He lived the life to show us that we could live a life.
Amen.
He lived it that it is possible to live a life that honors and pleases, that honors and is pleasing to God and glorifies God. We may not live it sinlessly, but that ought to be the trajectory and the aim and the direction of our lives.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because he showed us the way. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to say. I'm going to say 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Let's go to 18, verse 18. 1 Peter 2, 18. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Slaves, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. And by the way, that's a word for us. When you got bad managers, bad supervisors, you ought to still be respectful to them. Amen. Because we don't stop being Christians because or acting godly because they're acting crazy. Amen. The Bible says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't let their evil overcome your good. Amen. But overcome their good with overcome their evil with your good. Amen. So he says here again, be submissive to them with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, which we love to do, but also to the harsh and froward. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. But what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults and you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Verse 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, here it is, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. What are those steps? Who committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23, when he was insulted, did not insult in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. That's how we're to live. Leaving us an example that we should follow. How can we follow an example if he wasn't 100% human who was tempted in all points? Yes, just like us, yet without sin. Believe me, y'all, the sinless life lived by the Lord Jesus Christ is germane to the gospel. Because that's what gets him to the cross. Father God, help us to get that. And to me, I like to think what I'm feeling is more pressure to live right. Because I'm supposed to follow his example, and then I need to get better at following his example. Amen, amen, word of life. Amen. Can we do better in following closer to that example? Amen. More closely toward that example? Amen. Hallelujah. It ought to make us feel some type of way. He went through it. And he did it all as being 100% human. He was tired. He didn't always feel like doing things right. He didn't always feel like doing the hard thing. I can imagine after 40 days of not eating, how big of a temptation was it to just be able to turn those stones into bread and start to munching right away?
Absolutely.
We just overlooked that. And unfortunately, we said, well, he couldn't have seen it anyway. We just dismiss it. Shame on us. When the Word of God goes through all of those verses, we covered about 10 verses that talked about him being tempted and making it through those temptations without sin. Because the only person that could propitiate or satisfy the demands of an eternal judge was a sinless life. A sinless life. Sinless life. That's how he is going to deliver his people, you and I, from their sins.
Hallelujah.
Because if he couldn't, if he couldn't sin, then why go through the whole charade of him being born and all of that? Just going and just, he was already 100% God. Why go through this charade? Does that make sense? Why not just say, okay, here he is. But it had to be a human being. He had to be made just like his brethren. Live this life sinless and then go to the cross as a human being. For human beings. My. So he makes it through without sin. And then as a human being has to feel the weight of our sin being laid on him. So he has to make it through sinless. And then after that, he then, which makes him eligible for us to dump our sin on his sinlessness. And in his humanity, carry that to the cross. My Lord and my God. Father God, I just want to say, forgive us. Forgive me for being flippant concerning the sinless life lived by the Lord Jesus Christ and the reason behind it and the result of it. But I thank you that you remember that our frame, that we're just dust. These truths are so majestic, so powerful, so transcendent, that without your Holy Spirit, we have no chance of understanding it. Even with it, we barely can even scarcely begin to understand it. Just how great and gracious and compassionate and merciful you have been to us. Oh, Father God, help us today. In the name of Jesus, we need your help understanding these majestic, transcendent truths. They entered our ears today, hopefully some into our heads, but I believe them entering into our heart is a long way off. Help us to get there. We need you badly. We need you. We can't do it alone. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.